see, it's right now you're made. Yeah, see, you're going to listen here and listen up. Listen good. It's your boy Slim.
It's your boy Monty back at him. The best fucking Pokemon trainer. You already know I went through the Elite Four and just didn't even have one Pokemon go down.
Oh, nice.
Stop it. Come on.
So what do you do at the end of that game? I don't remember.
I'm just filling out my Pokedex now. Okay,
nice. You need to get on that crystal so you can go fight Red.
Ultimate challenge. Listen, okay, my crystal is broken right now because it has, when you play those too much, I have the original one. The batteries go bad for the save. So I need like a C205 battery from Walgreens.
What? There's a battery in there?
Yeah, and I have to use like precision, I don't know.
It legit has a battery in it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to do surgery on it.
What?
Soon.
I wonder if mine still work.
But it might not be worth it. Maybe I should just get a new game or something.
How much could a battery be? It'd be like a watch battery, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I could at least give it a shot. But you know I come from where the Slims aren't nice. Catch them knocking on your door asking for bags of fucking crack.
Oh, hey, can I borrow a spoonful of crack?
You guys got any of them spoons in here?
Yeah. I need a spoon. Bend it, please. We went to Cleveland last night, Clevelandia, to see our good pal Mitch.
Mitchell Tyler.
He fucking lost. He got robbed.
In sudden comedy death. One of the first times I've ever seen sudden comedy death.
Yeah,
but
the one joke. I came in here today and I was like, oh yeah, Mitch.
Well, I'm on Yaz, that one.
Dude, that was great. That was excellent. I need to hear that again.
I know, I told him to send me the recording of it.
But I'm mad because I thought he did. I thought he did the best that we've seen, even though we only saw three of them.
Yeah, but
the old dude was pretty funny too.
Old dude was definitely super funny. I enjoyed his like dry humor a lot.
I don't remember his name though.
It was Slim Bobulus.
Slim Bobulon.
5 trillion.
Like an android thing. Oh my god! All right, so here we are. Oh. No, wait. Yeah, so here we are. First
what?
Ever. Yeah, I don't know. First ever ESPN card.
Can we start with some like news, maybe?
Oh, sure. Breaking news. I just got a post about this a couple hours ago from Bleacher Report. Israel Adesanya will fight Kelvin Gastelum in April at UFC 236 for the interim middleweight belt.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I like that. I mean, if Whitaker is going to be out for a little bit longer than expected, then yeah, let's get an interim. I mean, that stinks for Gastelum, obviously. I mean, day of, he was about to have his title fight.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But hey, if he defeats Israel Adesanya, there's just no question about it.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
I
don't like it too much. To be honest, I mean, I like the fight. I don't like the move as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the fight's going to be great. That's an excellent matchup and striking.
It's going to be very, very interesting.
But I think Israel's going to take that.
Take that, take that. We'll have to see, dude.
What other news you got? I don't got any more news. That's all I had for news.
Yeah, that was about it. I guess.
Can we start with this one news story?
I guess, did you see that Ryan Bader, Darth. Tyron Woodley, Chuck Liddell.
Made a rap song?
Randy Couture. And Ilea... McFarland, I can't think of her, the champion in Bellator.
The Hawaiian girl?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
They were all on Family Feud as a team.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I haven't seen the episode yet, but they were all on Family Feud. We got to check that out. That's probably super cool.
T Wood's probably like, Steve Harvey. All
right. Seemed like an unnecessary jab.
Yo, you remember when I called Steve Harvey racist?
Yes. Why is that funny now?
I don't know. I just thought about it. It still stands.
How does that correlate?
Because Family Feud.
Well, this weekend we had our very first ever card on ESPN, and it was a doozy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
there was so much crazy stuff going on. Slim and I are going to run it down for you starting now.
This was a great fight card, perfect for ESPN's first fight, or first live fight on ESPN.
Yeah.
And
I just a quick news note. Platinum Perry got married to his girlfriend.
Really?
Yes.
They just got back together like 2 months ago.
I know.
What the hell? Dude,
did you marry him?
Did you see the one where she was sparring with him and he just took her out
No.
Dude, he fucking clobbered her. Google that. Mike Perry sparring with girlfriend. He just fucking put the hands on her. Like, but she was holding her own for a second until she just took a knee, like, boom. Dude, Mike Perry puts hands on his girl. But in a not in a like domestic abuse way, just in a sparring way. But she outweighs her by several pounds, I would say.
He called it platinum punishment.
Platinum punishment? This is what happens when you overcook my eggs.
Oh, no. Slim with a misogynistic joke, yeah.
Dude, shit was wild. I wonder who he fights next. Whoa.
That was a little bit loud. My apologies.
Why are there cheers?
That's how this video starts.
It was like in a training gym, the one I saw. Monty's watching the video, but I did excellent on my picks in this fight.
Yeah, talk about how salty I am while I watch this.
I called Monty. I sent Monty the rice emoji, and I said, "You're a bowl of salt."
After every single fight he won, he had to. Oh, she ran up on him. But after every single fight Slim won, he texted me the fighter's name.
First one, I just said, "Cool instant." Next one, I just said Funk. Smith Funk Master 1. Did he do it yet? How long is this video?
About 5 minutes.
Jesus. All right, well, anyway.
I'm just watching them spar right now. I mean, she's doing all right.
Yeah, wait till he puts the hands on her.
Okay, it's like right here. All right, that was a trip.
Give us a play-by-play.
He's trying to do the Zabit trip on her right now. He's got her in a clinch, giving her some, ooh, a little body work. She keeps trying to do like a outward push kick that's just not working whatsoever. Wow, Mike Perry just threw a disgusting-looking X kick. Not good disgusting either. Now they're in a clinch. He easily tosses her down to the ground. I'm now searching for the part where she gets dropped, and it is just
painful to watch. Oh!
No! Why'd he do that?
Oh!
Did you hear that? Yeah. So it looks like, all right, he pushes her, has her a little bit wobbled. She got tired in the clinch, tried tripping her. He's giving her just body shots. She's stumbling. She's falling into him. He pushes off, body shot right into the stomach, drops her.
Tough love, baby.
Wow.
I wonder how their sex life goes.
No kidding.
Donkey Jeez. Punch just right to the livers.
All right.
All right, anyway.
Let's get started on this card here.
Okay, so. First fight of the night, Alexandria Albu going up against Emily Whitmire. We got this one wrong pretty handily.
Yeah, Emily Whitmire came out just living up to the nickname, Spitfire. She came out spitting some fire.
I'll say.
And she got the rear naked choke for the fastest submission in strawweight history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Didn't Albu miss weight too?
I know.
Someone missed weight on this
card.
It
was Henan Barao and Manny Bermudez who both missed weight on this card.
What did Henan weigh?
138.
Damn, that's like three in a row.
So yeah, there's that, Slim. I don't know.
All right, well, yeah, Emily Whitmire getting the nice submission.
Yeah, Alexandra Albu. This was one of the things I wanted to address on this show. The UFC's adding fights to people's careers? Nowhere on the internet have I been able to find evidence, nowhere,
yeah,
of her 7-0 record. I can find three fights on her. That's it. Three fights. None of those other ones count. I don't know if it was some backyard shit or what the fuck they're counting. Some sparring wins. Like, what are they tossing in there?
Right. Yeah, so she is 7-1 right now.
Goofy. That is not her record. She is 3-1. She had one fight outside of the UFC. That was it.
Damn.
Like, what?
Wait, she only had one outside the UFC?
Yes.
She came in 1-0?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is very rare to see, but I'm just so confused. Where do they get that?
Just trying to hype her up, man.
Anyways, yeah.
It's like some Bellator shit.
Emily Whitmire moves to 4-2, gets her first win, or first stoppage victory of her career. She's now 2-1 in the UFC.
Moving on to the next fight. Cool hand, Luke Sanders, going up against former champ, Henan Brow.
Yeah.
Who has been on an absolute decline in the last 3 years, which is incredible because he was on top of the world at one point, 20-0 time span of winning. Dude, Luke Sanders put it on him. Made an excellent adjustment, as pointed out by Dominic Cruz. Listened to his corner, got in Brow's face, and got a knockout.
Yeah. Absolutely great performance by Luke Sanders. I mean, hey, Henan Brow had no answer for that.
No, not at all.
And I thought Luke Sanders, this was definitely his best performance of his UFC career.
For sure.
Actually got himself a performance bonus.
Mm-hmm.
50 Gs for Luke Sanders, which I don't agree with, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
No?
Francis Ngannou knocked out Cain Velasquez in 26 seconds, sir.
Cain actually, well,
you can call it what you want it, but he knocked him out.
His knee popped, though.
Because he was falling.
Cain said he actually never got hit.
Because he was falling. If you look at it, he got hit.
He said he didn't get. He said the uppercut did not connect with him.
Whatever he says. But anyway. Luke Sanders, now 3-3 in the UFC, 13-3 overall. 9 of his 13 career victories have come by stoppage. Henan Brow, 9-7 in the UFC now. Like Slim said, started with such a legendary run and just ever since then, kind of been struggling. But 4-fight losing streak, now the longest of his career. Hasn't had a win since September of 2016.
Right.
2-7, actually, in his last 9 fights after that 33-fight unbeaten streak. So
crazy.
Yeah. All 3 of his UFC stoppage losses are by knockout as well.
Right. Oh, I have a question.
All stats provided by MMA Junkie.
Nice. So I was on Fight Pass, as I do. You know, I just go back and watch big fights, just because. And I was watching DC. I watched him beat up Ozdemir. And then I watched him go up and beat Stipe.
Okay.
And the size difference was crazy. So it got me thinking, you know, we're in that new money fight era. We've now had 4 champion versus champion fights, 3 of which were continual champions. I mean, like, double champs, like, holding each belt, one of which has defended each belt at least one time. So, and that's only been happening in the last 2 years. So my question is, if we could go back 10 years, even 15 years, what fights around that time would you put up on, like, a giant pay-per-view of champion versus champion?
Oh, man. That is a question that I was not prepared for.
Yeah, it's throwing at your dome. My biggest pick would either be Anderson Silva against John Jones or GSP against Silva in their primes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I agree with both of those. Great thought, Slim. Wish you would have gave me time to think of that.
I'm sorry. All right, you think about it. Well, anyway, going on to the next fight, we had Scott Hot Sauce Holzman going up against Nick the Canary Lens.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Still can't believe that's his nickname, but man, we got this one wrong, too.
Yeah, didn't see this one coming at all, honestly. Nick Lentz with a good performance, dude. I mean, he's been on an absolute tear lately. This is the best he's looked in his career, I'd
say.
You know, he had that loss to David Tamer, which was a unanimous decision loss. But, I mean, dude, honestly, he only loses to the best of the best. So,
right.
I think he'll get right back in there. With a performance like this, I can see him fighting within the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, Scott Holtzman's an absolute athlete, and I was surprised that Nick chose to completely out-grapple him in this. Or not chose, but, like, you know, did.
I mean, he is a world-class wrestler, true. I mean, he's always been a great wrestler for that division, and
he landed 5 of 19 takedowns.
Yeah. I mean, he was shooting for it.
Wild.
And got the unanimous decision victory, all 29, 28s across the board in favor of Nick Lentz. That brought me and Slim to my record was 21-18. Slim goes to 22-17.
Nice. On to the next one. Ashley Evan Smith going up against KGB Lee. We got this one right, and it was pretty decidedly. Andrew Lee, just absolute great display of striking. Ashley Evans Smith had no answer for it.
None at all. Dude, KGB Lee just looking dangerous throughout the entire fight. I thought a knockout was coming at any second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ashley Evans Smith is a very, very tough fighter, though. So, you know, credit to her for staying in it the entire fight. But what a dominant, dominant performance by Angela KGB Lee.
Whose husband is still on the run.
Still extremely racist. She's now 2-0 in the UFC, 10-2 overall. She has both of her UFC victories by decision. Ashley Evans Smith, struggling in the UFC, 3-4, 6-4 overall. She's 1-1 since she went down to that UFC women's flyweight division. She has suffered two of her four career losses by decision.
Right.
But yeah, KGB Lee continues to be a threat in this flyweight division.
Right. On the next one, this fight was crazy. We had Golden Boy Benito Lopez going up against the Bermudez Triangle, yes. Manny Bermudez.
So, you know, this one was a hard one to pick, dude. A battle of two unbeaten prospects. I didn't think they would put them together or put them up against each other this early in their career, but I mean, Bermudez sent out the challenge, and it was accepted.
Dude, he looked great.
Yeah, I knew this fight was going to be explosive. I didn't think it was going to go the distance, and it was Manny Bermudez's beautiful jiu-jitsu that mm-hmm. he has used throughout his entire career to stay unbeaten with the victory over Benito Lopez.
There's another triangle, wasn't it?
No, he got the guillotine choke 3:09 into the very first round. I mean, I'm so impressed with this kid.
Right.
I just think, you know, the sky's the limit for him, especially if he gets some hands behind him.
For sure.
Oh, man. Watch out. But he has earned 12 of his 14 career victories by stoppage now.
Mm-hmm.
11 of those 12 career stoppage victories by submission.
Right.
Which includes all three of his UFC wins. Wild. He has a 3-fight submission streak right now, which is tied for the second longest active streak behind, who do you think?
Charles Oliveira.
Correct. Correct. That is correct. Benito Lopez, now 1-1 in the UFC, 9-1 overall, of course, has his unbeaten streak snapped at 9. But, you know, I think he's an absolutely great fighter. He brings explosive, fun, dynamic fights every single time he fights.
Yeah,
can't
wait
to see him get back in the cage.
For sure. On to the next one. Jimmy Rivera going up against the Funk Master, Aljamain Sterling. Dude.
Another one where Slim got me, man. I thought Jimmy Rivera was going to come in here, use a striking to just impose his will on Aljamain. But Aljamain did what Aljamain does. He stayed on the outside. He used his leg kicks. No takedowns for Jimmy Rivera. Aljamain's wrestling, of course, we know it's absolutely amazing. And he dominated this entire fight. Dude, Jimmy Rivera excellent. Was broken after the second round. I mean,
yeah, Jimmy Rivera, something was all off. And I'm pretty sure during one of the corners, he told his corner that, you know, he's just not feeling right in there. But Aljamain Sterling, an excellent performance by him. Probably the best he's looked so far,
I'd say,
in the UFC. Man, dude, making his run for the title.
Yeah.
And he said he wants to fight Cody next.
What do you think about that?
I love it. Do it.
We still have to see what happens with Cody and Munoz.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I think that's if Cody does win, that's the next one to happen.
Yeah, I agree. That's an absolutely great matchup.
For sure. Records real quick?
Slim improves, or I'm sorry, my record is currently sitting at 23-19. Slim just absolutely demolishing me at 25-17.
Woo!
I mean, he is just completely smoking me. I don't know if I even have a chance to come back at this point.
Thank you. There's always a chance, bud.
Slim, if you get up like 15 fights with 1 month left, I think I'll concede.
All right, fair enough. Okay, on to the next one. Touchy Feely going up against Miles Fury Jury. This one, I picked Feely, but I didn't see him winning in this way. Dude, it was just a jab fest. This whole fight was just all about the jab. Feely having a little bit longer of reach and just absolutely capitalizing on it with great timing. When Fury did connect, though, he made it count, and they were hard shots landing. He dropped Feely at the end of the second round. But, yeah, Feely was just jab crazy. It was honestly wild to see.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that's exactly what he did in this fight. He used that jab to his advantage and just got it done, dude. Absolutely
right.
Great performance by Andre Touchy Feely. Can't say enough about the kid. I think he is entering his prime of his career, reaching his peak as a martial artist, and who knows, maybe he's priming himself for a run.
Although I did say that that is probably the worst Fury has ever looked.
He hasn't looked good his last two fights. He didn't look very good against Chad Mendez's last fight either when he got whooped on.
So. Yeah, but that's Mendez.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see.
All right.
But that was all 29, 28s in favor of Andre Touchy Feely. A couple stats on the fight. maybe not.
maybe not. Nope, no stats. Okay. on to the next fight. We had Vicente Luque going against Bam Bam Bryan Barberina. This is fight of the year.
Yes, absolutely so far.
Oh, my God.
My dad texted me after this one and was like, dude, holy shit.
Did he really? Yes. That's nice.
Yeah, I was watching it with my pops.
Nice. Dude, the combined... hang on, let me add these up real quick. I thought I had a definitive number, but let me add these. 164 strikes for Luque, 195 strikes for Bryan Barberina, totaling 359 total strikes thrown. Completely insane. Vicente Luque, he might have lost this one had it gone all three rounds, but ended up catching Barberina in the third round. I forget what the punch was.
Was it an uppercut? It was a knee, really, that dropped him.
Yeah.
He had him wobbled, got him in the clinch, landed a knee to the face. Barberina dropped forward, and Luque jumped all over him, got it finished. I mean, it was great. It just showed, you know, never stop. And Vicente Luque is a bad, bad dude, man. I mean, you can never, ever count him out because he is always threatening a stoppage.
Right.
He has now earned 14 of his 15 career victories by stoppage. That includes all 8 of his UFC career wins. That's wild. His 8 stoppage victories since 2015 in the welterweight division are most in the division since that span.
Wow.
Luque is now the 8th fighter in UFC history to earn their first 8 victories with the promotion by stoppage. The other ones, Andrei Arlovsky, Vitor Belfort, Don Fry, Gabriel Gonzaga, Royce Gracie, Joe Lozon, and Anderson Silva. Wow. And he was accompanied by somebody later on the card. I'll let you know who.
Ngannou.
Well, Slim ruined it. But yes, of course, Robert Whittaker. Or I'm sorry, yeah. Is it Robert Whittaker who's 8-0 right now as well?
Yes, welterweight.
Oh, but he did lose with against Wonderboy. My bad.
I'm big tripping. Wait, Whittaker? Oh, yeah, okay.
Bryan Barberina, now 4-3 since he went up to the UFC welterweight division. He is 5-4 in the UFC overall, 14-6 overall. Barberina has alternated wins and losses over his last 6 fights. So, you know, of course, he is due for a win in his next one. And that was the first time he's ever been knocked out.
Wow.
With only 6 seconds left. Very tough one. But, hey, Vicente Luque, what a performance. Of course, you know, always threatening that top 15. They did get a performance of the night bonus, fight of the night for both of them.
Yeah, and they deserved it. Honestly, like I said, that's fight of the year contender so far.
For sure.
It's going to take a slug match to beat that fight.
I also, I'm pretty sure this was the most significant strikes ever landed in a welterweight fight in UFC history.
Wow. I do know that they threw more significant strikes in that fight than Francis has in his entire UFC run.
Wow. That's a weird stat.
Yeah.
That's also two fighters, though, in a slugfest.
I know, but so. I'm just saying.
Francis knocks people out in one punch.
That's what I mean. Over 8 fights, he's not... He's just...
Crazy,
you know,
man!
You know what I mean. All right, moving on to the next fight. We had Alex Caceres going up against a legend with the name, Cron Gracie. This was actually supposed to be the 5,000th UFC fight. This is supposed to be the 5,000th ever UFC fight.
Why are you saying thousandth?
5,000. How else would you say it?
5,000th.
5,000th UFC fight. Nice. Okay.
What was he saying?
Thousandth. 5,000th. 5,000th. Hey, I need about 5,000 cents. $5?
$5,000.
That'd be $20. I don't know, man. Okay, so Kron Gracie, like I said, supposed to be the 5,000 fight in UFC history, but Jessica Penne, and I forget who she was fighting, dropped off due to injury. So it's now the 4,999 fight in UFC history, with crazy implications because this is one of the Gracies coming up and doing exactly what the Gracies do. He took him down handily and choked him out.
Yeah. Of course, the first Gracie family member since 1994.
To get a win, yeah.
To get a UFC victory. There were three others that attempted but were unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
Kron Gracie has all five of his career victories by submission. Alex Bruce Leroy Casera is now 9-10 in the UFC, man.
Wild.
Yeah. 14-12. Fell to 4-4 since he returned to that featherweight division. 4-7 in his last 11 UFC appearances, and he has suffered 8 of his 12 career losses by stoppage. So,
damn.
A little bit of a struggle here for Bruce Leroy, but he's exciting, man. You know, what do you...
Yeah, people like to see him still. Yeah,
let him ride it out. Shit.
Do you just put bacon bits on that chicken sandwich?
Yeah. Wanna ride with you, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing questioning, Sean?
Well, at first I thought it was cat treats.
What are you doing? Why are you questioning
bag.
Me, Sean?
Chicken and bacon is fucking good.
If it was real bacon.
I don't have real bacon.
Or motherfucker.
Thaw it and cook it.
Fair enough.
Bacon bits are fucking fun. This dude.
Fun.
I mean, half the shit you eat is fucking stupid too, motherfucker.
You got me there.
Got Sean heated for putting...
My biggest pet peeve is people that judge people when they're eating.
I fucking... Damn, you made him so mad. You guys need to address
chewing
this.
Chewing too loud over there.
It's like, what, you want me to not fucking eat so that you don't judge me?
Does this make you feel better, Slim, if I die?
Of starvation, huh?
Yeah, I'm laying red sick now. Does that make you happy? What's wrong with that?
Exactly. Fuck you. Fucking piece of shit. Chicken and pork don't taste good, but fucking pizza and mayonnaise does. Fuck you.
Mayonnaise? Ooh. Hold up. You said ranch.
What do you think ranch is, man?
Not mayonnaise?
Wow!
You have some kitchen insider tips for me?
All right, let's skip this. We're going to go on Kron Gracie with the submission victory by rear naked choke over Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres. 2 minutes and 6 seconds into the very first round. That got him $50,000, a performance of the night bonus.
Looking very nice, and he says he wants to get right back in there. He's down to fight in Cutalaba. Is it Cutalaba?
Yes.
Curitiba.
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 Sure. Moving on to women's strawweight division.
We had Courtney Cast Iron Casey going up against Cynthia Calvillo. And man, this was a great fight. Cynthia Calvillo looked absolutely dominant. Very, very close in the total strikes landed, 73 to 82. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Calvillo just put it all together, man. She looked great.
Yeah, great performance by her. We already know she's a very active fighter. I know she's been battling some injuries lately, but it seems like she's getting right back on track. Judges had it 29-28, 29-28, 30-27, all in favor of Cynthia Calvillo for the unanimous decision victory.
And you know who she called out?
Who, Slim?
Nina Ansaroff.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting fight.
The fighter that everyone's scared of, and no one's calling out, she called her out.
I'm really interested to see that one. I really hope that one happens. That'll be a good mixture of some ground game.
Right.
A good clash of wrestling.
I agree.
Cynthia Calvillo moves to 8-1 overall, 5-1 in her UFC career. She's now the eighth fighter to reach 5 UFC strawweight victories. She failed to complete a takedown for the first time in her career.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that was a 3-round fight, so that's pretty wild. Courtney Casey now 4-6 in the UFC, 8-7 overall, 1-3 in her past 4 fights. You know, on a little bit of a slouch right here.
Slouch.
But, you know, she's a very tough girl. She brings it every time she fights as well.
Right.
I think, you know, you can never count her out.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great all-around fighter, so.
I agree.
Her 6 losses in UFC competition are now tied with Kaylin Curran for the most among female fighters in company history.
That's not a good stat.
No, that one hurts. And all six of her UFC losses are by decision. Let's go ahead and move on to the next fight.
I wanted to play this clip real quick.
Nate Diaz.
How you doing?
I'm good, buddy.
Are we going to see you soon or what?
Yeah, we're coming.
All right. You think we see Nate Diaz in the octagon soon?
No.
Nate Diaz came for Cron Gracie. He was in his corner, actually, and a little backstage with Megan Olivi. Apparently, or not, that wasn't Megan Olivi, that was Karen. But
that was Megan Olivi.
Okay. Yeah, so Nate says, we're coming. Dana says, no. Get out of here. All right, anyway, on to the next one. We had James Vick going up against Paul Felder. This was a very tough fight to pick. Also, I did go with Paul Felder on this one.
Yeah, which brings Slim to 30-17, and I'm a little poop butt at 26-21.
30?
Yeah, first to 30.
Shit. Okay. All right, anyway, so Paul Felder, looking back to his old ways, he, like I said, he came off that setback to Mike Perry last year, and, dude, got right back in there. Throwing spinning attacks, so obviously the broken arm wasn't affected. But James Vick didn't use his range enough, I guess. Like, he was, like, leaning in for his punches and just leaving his chin out there for Felder to
hit. He has a problem with leaving his chin up in the air. And, of course, with a fighter like Paul Felder, who has a high fight IQ.
Definitely.
You can't do that kind of stuff.
One of the smartest.
His kickboxing is amazing. He was just absolutely chopping James Vick down with those brutal leg kicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, just absolutely scary. But yeah.
Where does James Vick go from here? He was number 10.
You know, he's not doing very good lately, like we saw in his last fight. Well, not his last fight. Two fights ago when he fought Justin Gaethje, mm-hmm. just got absolutely maimed. And then, you know, honestly, he's probably just going to kind of always be a mid-level lightweight.
That's unfortunate. I think he needs to move up. He's too big.
I agree. Maybe he'll do better at 170. Who knows?
6'3". That's wild.
But Paul Felder now 16-4, 8-4 in the UFC. He was successful in that return to the UFC lightweight division, and he's 6-2 in his past 8 UFC appearances.
So near the end of the fight, James Vick threw a knee, a body shot, and actually punctured Paul Felder's lung.
Yeah.
He was walking around and talking at the end of the fight and then came up to the commentator booth afterwards and just having normal conversation with a punctured lung. Crazy.
Scary.
And then he was in the hospital. They kept him for like 2 nights and he tweeted, I got 2 lungs. Come on. I just want a beer.
Let my man have a beer.
What a warrior, man.
He's so awesome. I love him. But in conjunction with that, that now means Paul Felder can't commentate next week at UFC Prague.
Right.
Am I going to have to endure another week of Dominic Cruz not knowing fighters' names and talking about underhooks every 3 seconds?
Ugh, dude, Luke Thomas. Luke Thomas went to bat saying that Dominic Cruz is his favorite commentator.
He had to have been joking.
No.
That had to have been a
He made a whole video about it on SiriusXM about how Dom is the one talking about the important things. And I agree, they are important what he's talking about. It's just, that's all he's talking about.
Yeah, and it just sounds stupid. He sounds stupid a lot of the times because he's just like so fucking, he's so out of it. I don't know. He's scrambled, bro.
He used to be better. And I don't know what happened.
He is the worst commentator in the UFC.
I think if he was paired up with someone who isn't John Anik, then he might do better.
I don't know. Maybe, but
like if it's him and like Cormier or him and Joe even.
Yeah, maybe.
But John Anik doesn't have much to say. And so Dominic Cruz, I guess he feels like he has to.
Well said, Dom.
Yeah, he has to hold up his end of the bargain. I don't know. But yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah, for
sure. Can't take it. All right, on to the main event. We have Francis Ngannou going up against Cain Velasquez, the return of the former champ. It didn't last long.
No, it did not, sir.
26 seconds.
Francis Ngannou. There is, of course, controversy. Did he hit him? Did he not hit him? I think he hit him. Slim doesn't know if he hit him.
But what we could see is that Cain Velasquez's knee just absolutely gave out on him. Cain is held together with staples and tape at this point. And, dude, Francis jumped on him and the ref seen enough. Yeah. That was it.
I totally agree. You know,
there's what was he gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
You can see him visibly writhing out in pain.
So, I mean, a really tough break for Kane in his return. You know, in his home state where he wrestled in college. I mean, you know, absolutely tough. But hey, I don't think he's done.
No, definitely not. He wants to get back in there. He already said so.
Yeah, I think as soon as he, you know, that knee might not be feeling the best right now. So maybe once that gets a little bit healed up, mm-hmm. you know, get
was,
a little bit was, more training.
He's walking around fine after the fight.
Yeah.
But and, that is a tough ass
and,
dude.
You know, he knew what he needed to do and he went in there and did the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, he got way too close. He didn't go for any takedowns. And we know what happens when Francis hits people.
Right.
And I do want to say this is a new Francis Ngannou.
Yes. A revived Francis
Ngannou. Ever since that loss to Derek Lewis, he's got that killer instinct now.
Right.
He wants it. You can tell. Just when he walks into that arena, his laser focus, I mean, he's not messing around anymore. Mm-hmm. He's ready to make his title run.
Right.
And he, you know, he wants that fight with Stipe. He told Brock Lesnar, you know, he's talking shit about Brock Lesnar. I love it.
It's great.
I love this new Francis.
It's awesome. Yeah, if he doesn't fight Cormier, he's, you know, where does he go from here? I mean, he's going to be number two probably. He's either got to get that rematch with Stipe. I don't think Cormier is going to fight him. I really don't.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think we're going to see a Francis Ngannou versus Stipe Miocic. Probably co-main event.
Yeah.
UFC 236.
I could see it.
237, something like that.
So I was actually kicking myself all Monday because I almost used my last second pick to take Ngannou. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, though.
You should have.
If I would have won all five of my picks, dude.
It's all right, Slim. You tried.
That's cool.
But Francis Ngannou now, of course, has earned all 13 of his career victories by stoppage. All 8 of his UFC victories, obviously, then are by stoppage. Ngannou is now the 9th fighter in UFC history, as Slim earlier mentioned, to earn their first 8 victories with the promotion by stoppage. His 8 stoppage victories since 2015 in UFC heavyweight competition are tied with Derek Lewis for most in the division. And he has earned 7 of his 8 UFC victories by knockout.
Hmm. Sorry, PayPal just said I charged $20.
Cain Velasquez has landed 1,465 total strikes in UFC heavyweight competition. That is still the most in divisional history.
Oh, Cain's?
Yes.
And he only landed 1?
Yes. Just wanted to point that out.
Wild.
He still has the record.
All right, that's fair.
But yeah, dude, I thought it was a great card overall. A lot of action. It was fun. And UFC on ESPN1 drew an announced attendance of 14,269 and a live gate of 1.4 million. Betting favorites went 7-4 on the card. Three of those 4 losses were my favorites to Slim. So Slim, good calls, baby.
Thank you, bud.
One fight did have even odds. Oh, this is a fun stat. Betting favorites are now 2-2 in the UFC headliners this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So we've had some pretty evenly matched headliner fights this year so far. Total fight time for the 13 bout card, 57 minutes, 37 seconds.
Not bad.
And
It was a pretty quick night, I feel. Yeah. Which was good because it was Sunday.
Yeah.
Everyone had to work in the morning.
It was a little bit early, too. The main card started at 9 instead of 10.
I like that.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I wish they'd always do that.
But right.
Probably won't be doing that.
No.
There were some other fights, of course, Slim and I previewed last week. We're going to go ahead and go through those real quick. Let's start with the very first Bellator card of the weekend.
I really only watched a couple of them. Who's the one kid that was 2-0, big prospect? He got beat. I can't remember his name. Oh, also funny to know that Bellator 215 was on 215, and Bellator 216 was on 216.
Wow, Slim! What a stat, buddy!
Incredible.
This dude trains at Jesus is Lord. Is that actually a gym? Or
sounds about right.
Mike Kimble, the Savage, is the one you're talking about.
Yes.
But But yeah, just going over the main card here very briefly. Austin Vanderford, you know, of course, Mr. Van Zant. I'm just kidding. That's not funny, Austin. We love you. Defeated Cody Jones.
What was the joke there?
Mr. Van Zant.
Oh, changing his name.
Yes.
I got you.
he defeated Cody Jones by arm triangle choke. 4 minutes, 49 seconds into the very first round. Great performance for him in his Bellator debut.
Right.
John Duma, of course, as we previously mentioned.
John Duma.
Defeated the very highly touted prospect, Mike Kimble. He got put in a triangle choke. 2 minutes, 51 seconds in the very first round. We also had Eduardo Dantas going up against Toby Too Quick Misek. And it was Eduardo Dantas who absolutely dominated this fight. Got the unanimous decision victory. Also, very popular wrestler, collegiate wrestler, Logan Storley, got the victory over Ion Pascu, who has some really quality Bellator victories. And that was by unanimous decision victory, which brings us to the main event of the evening, the one everybody was waiting for. And wow, were they disappointed.
I don't think I've ever seen a fight like this.
Bro, please, bro. I'm Andrew Jewel, bro, please.
I need to go find that. I'm going to find that. Anyway, so Matt Mitrione going up against Sergey Karitonov. Matt, first strike thrown was a nut shot that put Sergey on the ground, writhing in pain.
Yeah.
He couldn't get up. He couldn't continue. Fight was a no contest.
Blew my man's balls out.
He went to the hospital that night. They released him in the morning, and he went back because he still was in pain.
He's like, bro, my balls are not okay.
Bro, I lost one.
Oh, prayers up for Sergey Karitonov. You know, maybe he'll never be the same after something like that. Matt Mitrione, though, of course, he felt very bad. Wants to get back in there very soon.
Oh, and it also caused Sergey to have a hemorrhoid.
Oh, jeez.
Horrible.
Brutal.
Horrible.
But yeah, that was a no contest. 15 seconds into the fight, accidental kick to the groin by Mitrione.
Crazy, dude. Like, that's probably the first time I've ever seen a fight in like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially that quick.
So that was the Friday card. Now going on to the Saturday card.
The one I was waiting for, of course. Monty's favorite fighter of all time, other than Jeff Hughes. Come on now. Mm. You already know who my favorite fighter of all time is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually trying to design a shirt for Jeff right now. Working on it.
Yeah, he texted me today. We're going to go on a show soon.
Ooh.
He wanted to do it Sunday, but you're going to be at Travis Scott.
I also want to break some news about Jeff Hughes. Daniel Spitz has backed out of the fight with our boy, Jeff Hughes, because apparently he's scared or something. Yeah. So he will be replaced by a fighter who was last defeated by Jeff Hughes.
It wasn't named Mo Bamba.
Mo Green, who last won his UFC victory by a very impressive submission victory over an Olympic wrestler, Cuban wrestler. Yeah, it's going to be fireworks. This guy's trying to get his revenge win. Jeff said he hasn't gotten enough. Old Mo the Pirate is about to get smoked.
Woo.
He said 50 G's, baby.
Ooh.
We'll let Jeff talk, though.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's our guy.
Shit.
Jeff Hughes.
Same date, though, right?
Love you, baby. Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, moving on to the card that was Bellator 216. Starting with the main card of the evening, Bellator 216. Just broken.
Like, well, hang on, what? Hold the phone.
Hold the fucking phone. All right, we had Colby Fletcher.
On the main card of 216. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Colby Fletcher going up against Valerie Luerda?
Loreda. Yeah, Colby Fletcher coming in with a 1-2 record against the debuting Valerie Loreda, only 20 years old, training at American Top Team, the highly touted prospect, and...
Dude, she killed it. Killed it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord, baby.
If there was a performance of the night bonus in Bellator, she would have gotten that.
Right.
Valerie Loreda with the body kick followed by some punches for the cold TKO over Colby Fletcher. That was 2 minutes, 55 seconds into the very first round.
Nasty.
Which takes us to our next fight.
Yaroslav Amosov, going up 20-0, by the way.
Yeah.
Going up against Eric Silva, a longtime UFC prospect.
Yeah.
Who was never really able to capitalize on that hype. Tries to make his way in Bellator, and pretty much the same thing happened as his UFC career. He got just destroyed.
Stifled, but Yaroslav Amosov,
21-0,
came in with a. I mean, he imposes his will. He's only 25 years old.
Like, are you kidding me?
He trains with the Amosov team. He has his own little combat team.
Wild.
8 knockouts, 9 submissions. That was just his 4th decision of his career. Oh man,
I can't wait to see this dude again. I'm gonna be looking at him.
Yeah, the Ukrainian just dominating every fight he's in. We'll see if he ends up getting a title shot here in Bellator soon. Yaroslav Amosov defeats Eric Silva, unanimous decision victory.
Right. Now, moving on to our first in a pairing of heavyweight matchups.
I was really excited about this one, too. A revenge fight.
Right. Chet Kongo going up against Vitaly Minnikov.
The last person who defeated Chet Kongo.
Literally. Who was undefeated, 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another one.
Yeah, two 20-0 fighters going back to back.
Chet Kongo riding his 7-fight win streak?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure right now he is tied for the longest streak in Bellator
history.
Is it history?
Yeah, I'm pretty
something
sure.
Like that.
This fight was weird though because Minnikov was really trying to go at it, and Kongo was like looking gun shy. Like I thought he might have like broke his hand or something, but he was just like hesitant. He wasn't like throwing
that's
the knockout
the new,
punch.
That's the new check.
I mean, but he could, yeah, dude. He could have clobbered him. I've always thought that about Kongo. Kongo,
are you about to tell me you thought Vitaly Minnikov won this fight?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying Chet was gun-shy, and he could have probably TKO'd him.
Okay. I thought he had a great game plan, and I thought he stuck to it. You know, he was definitely patient. Didn't want to get too close to Minnikov, because if he gets in his grasp, Minnikov's a great wrestler. He doesn't want to do that. So I think that was his game plan, staying on the outside most of the time, staying patient. Got the unanimous decision victory. Great performance. He called out Ryan Bader for a title shot. I don't think anybody else deserves it other than Czech right now.
Yeah,
so.
Honestly, I can't believe he wasn't in that tournament.
Speaking of the heavyweight division,
we had Mirko Krokop going up against Big Country, Roy Nelson. Another rematch fight.
Yeah.
And they fought, 7 years ago?
Something like that.
Krokop won by decision.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Slim,
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I just need to address it because I'm still just so stuck on what you were watching. Tell me why you thought. Whoa! Did I just? Okay, we're good.
You're good.
Tell me why you think Roy Nelson won that fight.
I thought the takedowns in the second and third round just were more prominent than Krokop's kicks.
No, Mirko definitely won that second round. I thought the first round maybe could have
maybe
been
it was
Roy
first.
Nelson.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't go back and watch it, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought Roy did enough.
I definitely gave rounds 1 and 2 to Mirko. Just his aggression. He was the one who was landing the more significant strikes. Roy Nelson, I mean, no. I don't know how you saw it.
Roy Nelson now 23-17. That's a crazy record.
That is an absolutely crazy record. But so is this one. 38-11 for wow. Mirko Krokop. 29 of his wins by KO. He's currently on a... Oh, my gosh. Is that... He's on a... What?
Like 2 year streak.
10 fight win streak for Mirko. Wow.
Really? He was only 26?
His last loss was to Alexei Olenek in Legend.
Wow.
I don't even know what that was. Before that, though, of course, he lost to Roy Nelson. He had a 3-fight losing streak. Roy Nelson, Brendan Schaub, Frank Mir.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Krokop coming back.
Dude. So fun to watch. He's
like
45, 40? 46.
That's crazy.
Oh, dude. Keep putting him in there, though. Like, if he's going to keep winning fights, keep putting him in there.
Right? Might as well.
I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. I love him.
Right?
I love Mirko Krokop. Every time he throws that left head kick, you just...
Yee!
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Which brings us, though, to our main event of the evening. Arguably, one of the biggest grudge match fights in the history of MMA, I'd even say.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, lines were crossed with these two. This was definitely the biggest fight in MMA United Kingdom history.
Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't even in the UK.
It was in Connecticut. But
close enough.
You know, as much as it was a different fight than what people expected, and, you know, a lot of people hated this fight, I thought it was very technical. Mm-hmm. I thought Paul Daly fought a good fight. You know, people just hate on fucking stupid shit. They don't just like how they hated on Adesanya and Silva.
Right.
They don't understand technical fighting.
No. They just want to see a knockout.
Exactly.
Someone's got to win decisively.
Now, let's also talk about this one, Slim.
So, I was really surprised to see Paul Daly implement the wrestling, but I was shocked that MVP let it happen the way it did. He had zero takedown defense.
That's not true. I can show you three examples of him blocking a takedown.
All right, yeah,
he did get taken down like three times.
Might have blocked a couple, but I just thought that Daly won the rounds in which he did take him down.
No. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Because round one, definitely MVP. Paul Daly didn't throw a strike until five and a half minutes into this fight. That's stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so first round MVP. Now, I will give you Paul Daly won those next two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth round, MVP did not get taken down. He controlled that entire round, and he landed more strikes. Definitely MVP's round. Fifth round, where you're thinking Paul Daly won, he did get a takedown, but he did absolutely nothing with that takedown and ended up getting his back taken by MVP for 2 minutes, and MVP was landing shots that entire time he was on his back.
This is true.
With that control and reversing that and Paul Daly not being active, especially as we saw MVP was on top, I got to give him that third round.
Good breakdown.
Thank you. But okay. MVP will now be facing Douglas Lima in the semifinals. That's a really, really tough matchup, but you know, everybody's saying Douglas Lima by fatality, Douglas Lima by knockout. Listen, you can't count Michael Page out.
No.
Paul Daly did his homework on this fight, and I'm not saying Douglas Lima's not, but you have to do exactly what Paul Daly did and keep your focus for five rounds, because if you get caught slipping even once, Michael Venom Page will make you pay for it.
Right.
And that's why you can't count him out. Of course, in the other bracket, we have Neiman Gracie going up against the winner of Rory McDonald and John Fitch. Every single time Rory McDonald fights, that's a title fight.
I know.
That's crazy.
Well, because he's the belt holder.
No matter what, Neiman Gracie gets a title shot.
True. Technically,
that's awesome for him.
Right. So that is kind of cool.
But yeah, that was the card that was Bellator 216. I'm really happy my boy MVP got the win over Paul Daly. In a dream world, MVP ends up somehow winning this Grand Prix, and then Paul Daly wins his next two fights, ends his Bellator career fighting Michael Venom Page in the ultimate grudge match for the title.
That better be in the UK.
In the UK, in like London or Manchester, at like Wembley Stadium or something like that.
The O2.
And yeah, that'd be awesome.
Needs to happen. I could see it. Good roadmap.
Thanks, dude.
Okay. On to the UFC card this weekend. It takes place in Chechnya.
No.
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 Wait, what? Yeah.
Nope.
At the O2 Arena.
Slim, what? That doesn't say Chechnya. What's that say?
Praha.
Prague.
CZECHIA.
Where are you getting IA? There's no IA in there. You're literally reading Polish. What? It's in fucking Czech Republic, bro.
Oh.
Chechnya is in Russia. The Czech Republic is its own little fucking place. What is wrong with you?
Shisha?
You've never heard of a Czech person? It's like by Germany.
Czechmark?
And like Slovakia and shit.
Yeah, I just thought that said Chechnya. I guess that is Polish. And that's why John Blachowicz is on the card.
Yeah, it's next to Poland.
Fair enough. All right, let's take it from the bottom.
Actually is at the O2 Arena in Prague.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. All right, very first fight of the night. By the way, there's no Fight Pass prelims on this one.
Yeah.
It's either on ESPN2 or it's back to ESPN+.
Yeah, it's got preliminary cards on ESPN2, main cards on ESPN+. Slim, of course, going into this week, has the lead up four fights, 30 and 18. I'm going in with a 26-22 record. So Slim will be making all of his picks first.
Okay. So in the very first fight of the night, we have Damir Ismagulov going up against Joel Alvarez.
Sorry. You're going to have to keep talking.
Sorry. Hang on, my computer's not working. Oh, no! Technical difficulties! I don't really know much about either fighters. I'm pretty sure both are making their debuts. Let me see if I can find something on this. Nope. Okay.
I'm done with mine. All right, getting into the fight, we have Demir Ismagulov, who's coming in with his 17-2 record, making his first appearance in the UFC. Or, I'm sorry, no, his second appearance in the UFC cage. Last time we saw him was when he beat Alex Georges in that Dos Santos Tuivasa card.
Yeah.
Down in Australia.
Okay.
And he will be going up against Joel Alvarez, who is making his UFC career, coming in with his 15-1 record. He is currently on a 10-fight win streak, so been tearing it up lately. Gets a tough draw here in a UFC debut against Ismagulov. Slim, my guy, who are you going with?
Ismagulov.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Demir Ismagulov.
Ismagulov. Hey, brother, to the gulag. Okay, anyway, so in the next fight, we got Rustam Khabalov going up against Diego Ferreira.
Yeah, this is going to be an absolute firefight. I'm telling you guys that right now. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this one. Khabalov, of course, coming off that loss. Or, I'm sorry, what am I thinking?
No, he beat Cajun Johnson.
Cajun Johnson, yeah, it was a split decision.
And I also beat Bobby Green and... Desmond Green. And who is that?
Jason
He's
Sager.
Never lost in the UFC. What are we saying?
Yeah, he lost to Adriano Martins and Benson Henderson.
That's right, but that was 4 years ago. 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like 4 years ago.
Anyway, what do you got
going
on?
Up against Carlos Diego Ferreira, also on a little bit of a streak himself. He's won his last three fights against the Canadian gangster, Olivier Aubin Mercier, Jared Flash Gordon, and Kyle Nelson.
Wow.
His only two career losses, Benil Dariush, a.k.a. Daniil Baryush, and Dustin the Diamond Poirier. This is going to be fireworks, dude. This is a treat for the fans. Who you going with, Slim?
I got to take the Russian.
ANA MMA going to agree with this one as well. We're both going with Rustam Khabalov.
On to the next fight. Down a weight class, we have Daniel Tamer going up against Chris Fishgold.
Also a really exciting fight coming up on this one. Chris Fishgold always brings some excitement when he enters the cage. But, and also this is actually going to be the second to last fight on the preliminary card.
Yes. Tamer hasn't fought.
He said yes.
See, agree.
This is like four fights from now, Slim.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is like way up on the card.
Man. All right. Anyway, we'll do this one. So Tamer hasn't fought since July of 2017, in which he had a loss. He is 6-2 overall. Chris Fishgold, we just seen him not too long ago, I believe.
Yeah, 17-2. Had his first fight against Calvin Kattar. Ended up having a TKO loss in the very first round. But, you know, before that, he was on an absolute tear. Had like a 8-fight winning streak, I'm pretty sure. 7-fight winning streak. Another really, really tough fight, though, here coming up in Daniel Tamer. Who are you going with this one, Slim?
I'm going to take the Swede, Daniel Tamer.
Ooh, Slim going with Daniel Tamer in this one. I am going to...
Are you going to take Fish Gold? Are you going to take Shrimp Silver?
Why'd you call my dude that? Yeah, let's go ahead and go with Daniel Tamer in this one.
Nice. All right, what do you got as the next one?
Sorry.
Because I got Prezeris.
Yeah, that's going to be the actual next fight coming
okay.
up.
Okay, so we got Michelle Prezeris, the big Chungus himself, going up against Ismail Naradiv, newcomer to the UFC.
What did you just say?
Ismail
Nardwar. Nardwar.
Nardiev.
Yeah, Nardiev. We have Ismail Nardiev, the Austrian Wonder Boy. Oh, yo.
Whoa, but he's from Russian.
Nope. He's from Austria.
Okay.
Nope, you're wrong. Right. Has 11 of his wins by knockout, 5 by submission, only 1 by decision. Brings a really exciting fight style in here. Currently on a 2-fight winning streak. Go ahead with your little whatever, Slim.
Thank you. wait, I have him fighting. What was Prezera's last fight?
Bartosz Fabinski.
Did he win?
Yeah, he got a guillotine choke. He's currently on a.
Show that he won.
He's on weird. A 8-fight win streak right now.
Yeah, dude. And most of them by finish.
Yeah. But he is moving up to 170 now, so he's going to be.
He's been there.
No, he's been fighting at 155. He misses weight like every single time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the tractor.
He's literally missed weight. Oh, yeah, he did go back to welterweight.
Yeah, that was his last fight.
He won by a split decision over Zach Cummings and choked out Bartosz Fabinski.
Yeah, I got to go with Prezera's again, man.
I am going to go with the UFC newcomer. I'm going with Ismael Narayev.
Oh!
Yeah, you didn't see that one coming.
Oh! No, I didn't.
No, first disagreement. You know what? Yeah, I think you're right on this one. Prezera's is... if he gets a hold of you, it's just over. That's the thing.
He's just like, too big.
And as much as he just looks like a blob of poop, he just...
Whoa!
He does!
Oh, my man, a blob.
He is a poop. Chunky and 5'6".
Yeah.
But he gets it done,
he's
man.
He's built an absolute unit.
Yeah, as some say.
Astounded at the size of this lad.
Yeah, so... I'm going to switch that one. A&A MMA going with Michelle Prezera's in this one.
Look at Paige and Sean's layout.
Aw, that's sweet. Sean's sweet. I love Sean! Moving on to our next fight.
We have Damir Hazovic going up against Marco Polo Reis.
Ooh-wee, this one is going to be good. Last time we saw Marco Polo Reis, he had that vicious 1-minute knockout over Matt Frivola that got him that performance of the night victory. Of course, before that, he had the TKO loss to James Vick in the first round. But, you know...
What country is Hazovic from?
Damir Hazovic? I'm pretty sure Serbia. It says, go ahead and check on that.
Bosnia and Herzegovina?
So he was born in Yugoslavia, which is now Bosnia and Herzegovina, but it's usually just... referred to as Bosnia.
Huh. Okay. All right. Anyway. Hazovic, 12-4 in the... What weight is this?
He is fighting at lightweight, 155.
Lightweight. He is on a win-loss record right now. Polo Reis hasn't looked too great either. This is a tough one.
Who's Slim gonna pick? Who's he gonna pick? Why's he saying Polo Reis isn't looking good?
No,
even though he just knocked off Matt Favola.
Yeah, he looked good in steamroller Favola, but he got TKO'd by Vic pretty quick.
Yes, he did.
I am gonna take Polo Reis in this one. Marco Polo.
I love you, Slim. I love you, Slim. You look like a poopy stick.
Is he finished or is he done?
I'm going to go with Marco Polo Reis in this one.
Nice. On to the next one. Carlo Pietrasoli going up against Dwight Grant.
Nice.
Ooh, Dwight Grant. I'm excited to see him back.
Yeah, after...
The potty snatcher.
He had a... He disappointed in his last fight.
He disappointed. He let me down.
He did. He's coming in with his 8-2 record, of course, fighting out of AKA with... Khabib and Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez, all them guys. Had his UFC debut, unfortunately lost to Zach Attow. You know, the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series alum. Getting a pretty tough comeback fight as well here with the streaking Carlo Pietrasoli.
Pietrasoli is 1-1 the UFC so far. He just had a loss against little cowboy Oliveira. No, that's...
What?
Yeah, the Brazilian cowboy, I mean.
What? Not They're both cowboy. Brazilian.
Oh. Well, no, I said Brazilian cowboy, as in not, like, Donald Cerrone, but the other cowboy.
I see. Yeah, Alex Cowboy Oliveira.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take Dwight Grant in this one. I think he's got a lot to prove in going into this, and I think he's going to get it done.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Carlo Pietrasoli.
In the next fight, Veronica Macedo going up against Jillian Robertson. The Canadian against the Venezuelan.
Ooh, I'm really excited for this women's bout. It's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, Jillian Robinson, 5-3 so far. Mm-hmm. She did have a loss against, I don't know who that is, something Silva. But she was on a 2-fight winning streak before that. She beat Meatball Molly McCain and Emily Whitmire.
Yeah, and Veronica Macedo has lost her 2 UFC bouts. She lost to Ashley Evans-Smith and Andrea Lee. 0-2-1 in her last 3 fights. So looking to get back in the win column here for Veronica Macedo. Slim, who are you going with in this?
Robertson.
ANA MMA going to agree in this one as well. We're going Robertson.
On to the main card. This one's going to be a banger. We got Magomed Ankalaev going up against Darko Stosic. That just sounds scary. Look at my Look at my man.
So, what fight is this?
First fight of the main card?
Okay, so Darko Stosic is not going to be in this one. He pulled out on January 23rd. He will now be, Ankalaev will now be facing promotional newcomer Klitson Abreu. Remember I told you yesterday?
No.
Remember I told you yesterday? Did you do your homework? And you were like, I'm going home right now and do my homework.
Well, I didn't. I played Apex. And I did that all day, too.
Beep, ba-da-doop, doop. Hey, Slim. So he's going up against promotional newcomer Klitson de Abreu. Oh, man.
What do you got on him?
So, homeboy is 14-2. Kind of looks like Crone Gracie, I'd say.
Mm.
He has won his last 6 fights. You know, going through that very, very tough Brazilian local circuit. And then also went and fought over in Russia in his last fight. Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a really exciting fight. Who are you going with in this one, Slim?
Ankalaev.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one as well. We're both going with Ankalaev.
Oh, I can't wait for this next one. We got the return of Peter Yan. Very quick turnaround for him going up against number 8, the magician John Dodson. Man, this is a tough matchup. Peter Yan
is a really tough matchup.
Only 12 fights to his name. John is on his 31st in this.
Yep.
Dodson, though, has been on a bit of a rocky road. He's been winning, but kind of controversial, a lot of just random things.
Right.
He did have that loss to Jimmy Rivera, but he beat Pedro Munhoz right before that, in which he lost to Marlon Moraes right before that. Peter Yan, though, an absolute warrior in there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got on him?
Peter Yan currently on six fight win streak, unbeaten in the UFC so far, had his debut win over Taruto Ishihara, beat Jinsu Sun, and then in his last fight, an absolutely amazing performance over Douglas Silva de Andrade, who had his corner throw in the towel. Andrade, who was ranked at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Yan, absolute threat right now in this bantamweight division, but getting his first really, really big test here in John Dodson. I think this is going to be a really exciting fight. What do you got on this one, Slim?
I am taking Peter Yan.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Peter Yan.
Nice. On to the women's strawweight or flyweight division. We have Liz Carmouche going up against Luis Pudilova. It's going to be a banger, too.
Lucy Pudilova. Oh, not Luis.
Luis Lopez Pudilova.
Like, what? Pudilova, 2-2 in the UFC. Just had her last fight. A fight of the night performance, absolute banger against Irene Aldana. Before that, she beat Sarah Cupcake Marias. She beat Ji-Yun Kim. Really quality wins here out of Lucy Pudilova. But, hey, Liz Carmouche, always been in this game. She's always been a top 10 fighter in this flyweight division. Who you got in this one, Slim?
I am going to take Carmouche.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one.
Ooh.
I'm going with Lucy Pudilova. Slim is going with Liz Carmouche.
Nice. On to this next one. We got the light heavyweights. John Volante going up against Michael Oleshichuk.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Oleshichuk?
Yeah.
Oleshichuk, we saw him in his first UFC fight. When was that? That was back in December of 2017.
Yeah, he got suspended for using steroids.
Ooh, but he did beat up Khalil Roundtree pretty handedly.
Yeah.
Going up against John Vellante, who... I mean, he's a good fighter, but...
Four split decisions in a row. Did beat Ed Herman, Francimar Barossa. That's a really big win. Saparbek Safarov. You know, he had a really good start to his UFC career. Kind of been back and forth as of late, but looked really good in his last fight.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jeff trained with him recently.
Oh, Jeff did.
I am going to take a Leszczyk in this, though. The Polish.
ANA, MMA going to agree on this one.
The
Polish. Going with. Leszczyk.
The Poland guy. Okay, going on this next one. I haven't seen him in a while. Stefan Skyscraper Struve going up against Fathead Marcus Rogério de Lima.
Yeah, this is going to be a really, really good fight. Stefan Struve, the Skyscraper, coming in. Three fights he's lost in a row. Did have a win over Daniel Amolzenczyk, and that was back in 2016. You know, really looking to get back in the win column before he gets sent to Bellator.
Oh.
But he's going up against Fathead Marcos de Lima. He's loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. He is due for a loss. Who are you going with in this one?
I'm going to take de Lima.
ANA MMA going to agree in this one. We're both going with Marcos Rogério, Fathead de Lima.
Nice. On to the main event. We got Jan Blachowicz going up against Thiago Santos. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. What a wild turnaround for the two middleweights who have come up to light heavyweight. Speaking of Thiago Santos and Anthony Smith, they're both just absolutely crushing it in their new weight classes. Mm-hmm. And this is a big test for Thiago Santos. Jan Blachowicz has really made himself stand out as one of the tops in the light heavyweight division the last couple years. He's got wins over Nikita Krylov, Jan Blachowicz, Jared Cannonier, just on an absolute tear right now. He beat Brown Bear Clark, too. He did have a loss to Zach Cummings back in 2017.
Who are you talking about?
Blachowicz.
You said he beat Jan Blachowicz? You said Jan Blachowicz beat Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, my bad. He beat Devin Clark. He had a loss against Cummings. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Zach Cummings, back in the day. But yeah, a three-fight win streak for Blachowicz.
Four-fight.
Going up against Thiago Santos, who is also, I believe, on a four-fight win streak. Is it five?
Yeah, I mean, dude, Jan Blachowicz, three performance of the night or fight of the night bonuses in his last four fights, beating Jimmy Manoa, Nikita Krylov. I mean, like you said, dude, those names are really big names. Ever since that loss to Patrick Cummins, he really got his shit back in check. And when he fights internationally outside of the United States, he typically does very well. You know, he of course had that loss back in the day in Poland against Jimmy Manoa, but hey, he got to avenge that,
right?
And now he's getting another fight here in Poland. Who are you going with, son?
Even though Santos has looked so good lately, I am gonna have to take Jan Blachowicz.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one.
Ooh.
I'm going with the streaking Thiago Santos in this one.
I think Blachowicz has just got better fight IQ, and his pressure is going to be more than Santos knows what to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an absolute fight. Right now it's a pick 'em.
An absolute fight.
An absolute fight. But yeah, honestly, I'm just picking it because, you know, I need to somehow get a little bit closer to you. Who knows? You might be up six after this one. Yikes.
Oh, yikes. You mean nine.
You are so bad at math. There's only two fights we disagreed on. You're
up. I thought it was three. My bad.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Who is this guy?
Who's man? Someone get him out of here. All right, guys. That'll do it for us. Unless you have anything else you want to say.
Nope.
Did you think about any champions versus champions you want to match up?
Nope.
Then that'll do it for us. Be on the lookout. We might go on Jeff's show sometime next week.
Wow,
well, no,
because
he's got a fight soon.
Meow.
No, he's got a fight soon.
Wow,
he'll be in,
me and you, wow.
He'll be in fight camp mode, you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Yeah, he texted me, and he was like,
let me put it in your butt.
No, he said, he just said, what's up? I said, what up, man? He goes, when do you guys want to do a show? I was like, well, which show do you want to be on? He said, the four of us should do one. I was like, oh, yeah, we'd love to come on Jam Up. So, yeah, we're going to do that. Behind the scenes, a little action.
That's going to be so awesome.
I know. All right, y'all. That'll do it for us. We're out of here. From Slim, from Monty, from Annie MMA, from Lousy Weather Media Studios. Also, shout out to fucking Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill, as always, our mans.
Yes.
BRB. Crooks.
Yeah.
Crooks.
Wait, Crooks. I forgot to Skype him again.
Shout out Sean Ast for always being super cool and let us use your house and stuff and your equipment. And shout out Mitchell Tyler for putting on a great show last night.
Yeah.
Shout out to Slim for always using suppositories. We'll catch you guys later on
False
A&A MMA.
Bye.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.